Blog Talk Radio. reality. You're thinking this is all crazy. But what we're dealing with here is breaking down the dimensions of what is the human mind based on what you call conventional and orthodox structure of humanity, on which makes you a slave. You got to come out of all of it. But the key here is your family members, them assholes, all of them, can never be the measurement and the criteria on which you free yourself, including your goddamn children. If they want to act like a motherfucking fool, your mama and all of them, fuck them. They're going to all be on the other side when you get there, saying, what took you so long? The American motherfuckers going to be the first to go, because you are here struggling for them. So don't look at them as a litmus test on why you buy into shit. Fuck your goddamn mama and your grandmama, a fucking ignorant-ass snuff-dipping fool. I know this quiet in here, but I'm trying to tell you. If your mama wasn't an idiot, fuck her. This ain't about moralism. Your family can never be the litmus test on how you climb up to the lofty heights of the high divinity. That's the problem. You waiting on to be sanctioned by your goddamn asshole family, and them the fucked up motherfuckers. You got to come out of this shit. They are children. They don't know. And this is not to get knowledge to go back and tell you. Tell them, y'all go and get all this shit. I'm going home. I'm going to drop this knowledge, and you get beat over the damn head. You want to get a good ass whipping? Go to a damn nigga that don't want to hear that shit. You be the fool. All these books, you feed this motherfuckers will tear your ass up. Am I lying? Well, you got a nigga that don't want to hear that shit. Now, I'm going to go there. I'm going to teach them people. It ain't about teaching them damn niggas nothing. You go there, and y'all get in an argument, and you be the damn fool. Yeah. It's like talking to this tree. Them niggas might start singing to your ass. Ha, la, lee, lee, ha, ha, yeah, yeah. You with all your scholarly shit. You know what I'm supposed to be? They're not the litmus test. It is not to teach them nothing. You got to make the decision. It ain't about no fucking goddamn preacher. You feel me? It ain't about the preacher. It ain't about nobody now to get out of this shit but the gods that came back to do this. We doing this shit. We getting ready to put the scunion to the ass, but you can't deal with this stuff by taking your family as being the litmus test of how you damn do this thing. Your family ain't got shit to do with this. And quit going home trying to teach them something. If you give it to them and they don't respond, fuck it. Turn on the goddamn TV. This ain't got nothing to do with that. See what I'm saying? And that's the problem. We all still trying to be sanctioned by our asshole families, but humanity is the enemy.
They said that they went to H.R. Geiger, who had done the art for the Necronomicon. And they went to him in Europe, and they said, we want to do a cult Christ, a real rendition of Christ. And they came up with the Alien, the movie Alien. Now, you saw that motherfucker in that movie Alien. If he see you, you... Sit. He see you, you dead. That's the Christ. That's the bottom. No compromise. Remember on Independence, go back and watch Independence Day. The guy came in there, in so many words, the president said, can we just all get along? In Independence Day, he said, can we share this earth together? We can compromise. He said, no. He said, what do you want? He said, I want you dead.
That's right.
He said, what do you want to do? He said, die. That's it. When the damn Mars attack came, he said, can we just all get along? Mars shook out that hand and then stabbed that motherfucker with that snake shit. But how did they, but now one thing about the Mars attack, how did it, was they end up killing them? Through the fucking music. So now this bullshit out here now is some bullshit. See what I'm saying? But the key is, going back to this particular part, we don't hate enough. We got to get to the level where we are violently in the thought process. You see what I'm saying? And that's the Christos Christ thing that is set forth in this last and final stage, not no love shit. You see what I'm saying? That's why most relationships is shot to shit in the black community. You see what I'm saying? Other than just straight up screwing, that love shit is for the goddamn birds. That's why I don't tell my girl she love me, and she don't tell me she love me, and we get along fine. But it ain't all that old bullshit. I got feelings for her. Yes, we understand all that kind of stuff. But we talking about getting off of this bullshit. You see what I'm saying? But the Christ is straight up a warrior in the most hideous form. And that alien is that the type thing to show you that. See what I'm saying? Now, let's deal with something. So this whole bullshit here about we ascension, that's awesome stuff. There's two dimensions. One is the right-hand path. That's all used up. The other is the left-hand path. And that's what we are about. You see what I'm saying? It's the left-hand path. Now, let's deal with some things right now. Right quick. Hold on 1 minute. Let me get my notes. Because I still want to get through this. First of all, I said a couple of years ago that your government is nothing but wide world wrestling. Uh-huh. Yeah. Then these motherfuckers do a ritual and elect Ken the Body Ventura, mm-hmm, governor, to show your ass that shit. Mm-hmm. Ken the Body Ventura, governor. But yet Jesse was running for president, and is he qualified? And yet they gonna let a damn wrestle up in there? Yep. This motherfucker used to throw motherfuckers doing body slams in the damn power drive and shit. That's all he did. And yet he running a damn state, but yet Jesse ain't qualified. Yep. But his ass, Jesse Jackson, is also pushing for this anti-hate law that's already been established in doggone England. They've been had it in England for years. That shit is to doggone stop black people from talking. So how do they do it? Well, the anti-hate law, they just can't go and just do it with black people because that whole Ku Klux Klan shit done played out.
Yeah.
You can't really do that. So what they do, they go and kill that gay boy over there. Mm-hmm. Your college student shit, about a month or two ago, kill that little gay boy over there. And they got all Hollywood and all them going all out, that type of shit, talking about this gay thing, and they're going to pass this anti-hate law for that type thing, but it ain't for that. It's supposed to so-called stop brothers like me. Well, I'm already immune to that shit. There ain't nothing they can do about this shit right here. But I'm just talking about other damn conscious people. That's how they shut the shit down based on Jesse Jackson and all these niggas with this anti-hate law and this whole gay shit. But they killed that gay boy. That's why they did it. To do this anti-hate law. Then they kill him. Then they got all these old damn preachers talking out old shit about the Bible and the gay thing and all that old shit. Making motherfuckers mad.
Yeah.
That shit is all to pass this anti-hate thing because that's what this whole thing about. Now, I want to say this because we got to put this on the tape. The movie Dark City was talking about experiments on people. And then after they got with the experiments, they shut the shit down after they found the soul. Well, basically, finding the soul is they was trying to flush black people out and isolate them because they knew that the Christ thing was over here. Because based on the Moors and the Camelot thing, this is the Camelot, which is the New Egypt. It's not England because England is the old cracker shit. But the New Egypt is America with your dollar bill, with your Washington, D.C., and all that. The new black, plus the black people are over here. So this is the Camelot that the Arthurian mysteries is talking about. So now they knew this, so they actually used all this to try to locate the actual Christ gene. Well, they found out melanin and all this, and they figured they done killed out everybody. But they figured it was coming from whoever, these certain organizations or whatever the type deal is. And they basically got these organizations just basically bowing down to these crackers. Once they flushed out and got the doggone Nation of Islam as a passive organization, that was it. Now, I'm going to show you something here. Let me show you something. Right after I left here, I don't know whether it might have been right before I came, but I think it was right after I left here because I was going to Detroit. I think a week after I left here, I was standing at the bus stop. because my girl get off and we park the car, so, you know, she go to work and all. And I just take this car that we got. We unlimited rides on the plane and the train and the bus, so I just take this car and go all over Atlanta. Anyway, I'm at the damn bus stop, and Carlet pulls up. Hey, man, come on, get on in. I heard you know some stuff on Farrakhan being a clone and all that kind of shit. You get on in. We need to talk. So we riding around, and I drop all the shit on him. I say, that nigga government agent and all that, and he bears witness to all of it. Carlet. I said, so why the hell you... Then he said, well, what happened was, he said, about around 93, a Farrakhan approached him and said, look, you can't call the white man the devil no more. Mm-hmm. He said, he called him adversary, enemy, you know, the establishment, all the other shit that everybody used, even white people use that shit, like the New World Order people. You can't call him the devil no more. So he said he tried it. And he said the shit just didn't go right with him. You know, his whole stage show don't even work if he ain't talking about that. Goddamn white man. So he said he just thought that doing the shit. And he said then, you know, when they came down on him, Farrakhan immediately took the blacks and Jews off. He ain't had the book out since he shut Carlet down. You know, the black and Jews book. And that whole 9 yards, he said that Carlet said, this man don't have nothing to do with me. He said I saw him for 5 minutes in the airport this summer. We was passing through. He said he didn't. I said, so why you didn't speak out against that old fucker? He said, well, basically, you got to understand. He said, I got people that was in the nation that love me. And they got people that love Farrakhan. He said, so the best thing to do was to be quiet. He said, sooner or later, they would figure shit out. He said, now, as a result now, because of Tupac put him on the last album, he got all of you now. And, you know, I was saying, you know, with all this old thing, you know, I was like, well, you know, man, you know, the whole deal. But when I hung out with him one day, and I was like, well, I had to look at this type of thing. Because the white man is still out here and still is the damn fucking devil. Mm-hmm. And I got to look at the allies now on who really called this white man the devil. Mm-hmm. Collard is still doing it. And Ashraf Quasar I still see is doing it. But basically, most people have cut that shit out. That white man ain't the devil no more. To most black strong revolutionaries, that shit is gone now. Mm-hmm. So I was like, now we got to damn take the lesser of two evils. This shit is fuck all the dumb shit. And he was around, and them kids was coming up to him. I said, what happened? He said, well, you know, I got in the YXL magazine with the gun and all that shit. Wow. He said, that was one thing. He said, when Tupac put me on his last album, these youth is gravitating towards him like crazy. So now, basically, the Nation of Islam that once was, I got it. So he started the Young Black Muslims, the New Black Panther Party, which the damn old Black Panther leaders took them to court and sued them for the damn name. Oh, now, wait a minute. If you ain't doing shit with it, but selling barbecue and shit. Bobby Seale's barbecue. What kind of shit is that? Barbecue and shit, cookbook and all kind of stuff, and state senators and all kind of bullshit. So he said, you know, we got the Young Black Panthers, we got that, and I got about two or three other organizations, so I'm just working in different organizations. But he was saying that basically, my man just basically turncoat. We won't have nothing to do with him. And all, it won't have anything to do with him and all. So basically, but it's all based on the damn, this white man being the what you call. So this man is totally sold the fuck out. Yeah. You know, totally sold the hell out. You see what I'm saying? That's very key. Now, going back to this American experiment. Now, you got to look at the science on this because they put it in the movie Dark City. First of all, the white man... They don't do no, they didn't, the white man that ran Europe, the Scottish, the Irish, the Germans, these were different races, and they didn't do all this intermixing, because France had a war with England for damn 100 years. I still can't get over that. 100 years you had war with the people. Anyway, they, over here in America, they do, this ain't got nothing to do with black people. They intermix with all the people. And you know, well, I'm Italian, and I'm part Italian, I'm part Mexican, I'm part all kind of shit. Then throwing a few nigger genes, and this shit is a cesspool over here. Now, remember now, see, what happened was you got to realize.
That's called, nigger genes is called contaminated blood, you white people.
You know, you throw in what they call now obsolete farm machinery is what they call black people now. That cracker fucked up. Obsolete farm machinery. Anyway, you throw in a bunch of that shit, and they're saying over there in Europe, the people, based on purity, they're real strong on this purity, bloodline, blue blood society shit. So remember now, America was a penal colony where they dumped all the trash from Europe. Then all the people that came over in the 20th century with Ellis Island was all kind of pole cracker with snotty nose and pus in their ass and all kind of shit, no shoes, calluses, and all kind of tails and all kind of fucked up shit. See what I'm saying, you know? Fucking damn worms and shit in their hair and all the real nasty people.
Yep.
Now, they dumped all of the trash over here. Then they said, we're going to take all these damn laws of this Constitution, and we're going to see what works and what don't work. Because they knew that just having a people govern themselves like this shit, you become savage in this shit, you know what I'm saying? See, it's always a hierarchy, and there's always a divine law that we did shit by. Now, I'm just free. You running around and shit, just, you know, your shit degenerates. You doing what the hell you want to do. There's a certain way you do shit, and we did shit on certain divine laws in Kemet, you know what I'm saying? You had a model to go by. You see what I'm saying? You was free, but you was free in the sense of trying to do some shit right, not just this crazy shit. So they said in Europe, they said, we're going to see what works and what don't work. And then we're going to have a chronicle of the perfect society, and America going to be the guinea pig. So after they did it, then now all of a sudden, they say, now shut this shit down. Make the president a hoe. Make the Republican this shit a hoe. Make everybody, and this shit is now shutting down. And it's all a part of this whole shutting down America, and that's all the shit with the Dark City movie. It's all in there. So what we're going through is the same thing that we're going through where the movie, where this whole shit was one big experimentation. You know, I believe everybody in this goddamn country crazy. Black and white. You see what I'm saying? It's just that we don't have no model to go by. So when we see white people and all, we just think that it's, that everything is all right. But we're some crazy people. The whole country is. And it's almost like a crystal ball. The other people look and say, them people done ran savage. Savage. You see. So this is the key on how this particular thing is going down right now based on another thing just to show you based on this whole thing with this Clinton thing that's going down. Now let me deal with something right now. The mystery of Pandora's box there's several mysteries. One was Prometheus, after he stole fire from the gods and bestowed on man, the gods got mad because we became gods and became higher than them based on the divine spark that's in us. And as a result, they chained Prometheus to a post, and they had a eagle bite out his side, his liver, just like Jesus was chained to the cross, and they stabbed him with a spear. It's the same damn story. But anyway, they get this Pandora, and she opens up her box on him and really messes him up. Now, what does that mean? It basically, it was also talking about put you in a wretched state as far as you being in a slave state. But then again, the childbirth keep perpetuating a reincarnation cycle over and over. So it's a form of reincarnation to keep you trapped down on the lower planes. That was Pandora's box also, too. Another form of Pandora's box is it's a box with all these demonic spirits in it. And once it's let loose, all hell break loose. Well, Pandora's box is also that black hole. But it's also inside of you. Because if you look, now the ultimate movie to try to understand this particular Pandora's box.
Lucy and all this kind of stuff is Hellraiser.
Yeah.
But the Pandora's box is the same as the Ark of the Covenant. Also, too, that's when you saw them demons come out of that shit in the whatchacallit. Now, all of this is represented as, because if you look at a box ain't nothing but a damn circle. So all this is represented as the third eye. You see what I'm saying? So the Pandora's box also, see, it's different multiple, mythology can explain several things. Pandora's box also is the fucking black dot. And the melanin is opening up based on this particular black hole. So go back and get the concept of this particular Hellraiser, but you want to get the bloodline, Hellraiser bloodline, which is dropping. A lot of science up in that particular part. But now, go back this time. You can see you got to go and take all these movies and root for the enemy.
Because
the enemy is your ass.
Yeah.
The enemy is your ass. You see what I'm saying? So Pandora's box, that's what this whole shit is. And that's what this black hole is. And they're trying to stop. They don't want this shit to happen. Because the box is not necessarily the black hole out there. That's just the gateway. It's ready. The box is in you because the box and the circle is the same thing. That's why when they invented this particular toy in the month in 1981, fucking Rubik's Cube, that shit sold like crazy. And it was the quintessential toy of the 1980s. That's the same thing of this particular box lining up. Because remember, this was based on certain dimensions that this thing is opened up.
Yeah.
And all it was the perfect box. And he said, do it, toy maker, and that whole thing. That's what that particular... But anyway, that is nothing but melanin. Or your soul. So when you look at you, root for the damn box.
Yeah.
And Pinhead and the boys.
Yeah.
That's the shit. You got to turn everything around. From now on, every demonic monster, that's your ass, because that is your power. That's the only way that you can unleash the forces of hell. That's your power. Other people is too stuck in religion, can't understand this, because everything has been turned around the last 2,000 years to make you root against yourself.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? To make you root against yourself. So you got to turn this particular part around, but that's what this particular thing is, that which leads to this. Now you got to go, now you have to go and rent the movie Phantom, not The Phantom, that's good too, that's Osiris, that's the purple suit guy, Billy Zane, and we dealt with that, but you want to go rent the movie Dean Koontz, The Phantom. Now, it's interesting because when I saw it in the movies, I saw certain things. But I went and bought a lot of these videos so I could study them. And I was looking at this particular part now. Then I went and got the book. I went and got the book of this particular thing so you can, of what this phantom thing is. Now, we'll break down some of this shit in this thing. Anyway, this phantom is pure carbon chaos spirit. Is what this thing is. And it takes over this town. That's you when you get back to your real self. When you see the X-File movie that came out was this black substance.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it is. In the movie with the bugs and all that shit in Lost in Space, it was this black stuff. Even the stuff turned. That's what we're talking about here. Those little bugs and shit. That's the sickle cells. That's what we are. That black substance that was in the X-File movie that was here before the dinosaurs. In what's her name, it was the same black substance in the Phantoms and it took over the town. That's what we are, the melanin chaos beings and took over the white town. They showed it up in some little remote view of Vermont or wherever that is. It's always up there to show you some places outside of the inner city. It's white motherfuckers getting rocked by black people. You see what I'm saying? Now, the key is... The key is this. In the movie, first of all, to line this up, the brother that played in the movie, he played the lawyer in Why Do Fools Fall in Love. He was in several movies. He was in two movies, this
They just call him up and say, you want to do these movies? He didn't have to even audition for them. They just need a black person to be in them. Deep Rising, which is Leviathan, that's the spiritual energy, as well as Phantom. He was in two movies back-to-back at the same time. In the movie, he was a government man. He comes up, he says, is this thing chemical, biological, or other? They said, we're looking at other. Anyway, in the movie, a certain thing happened. This damn thing. And I got it written down because it's only in the movie you see it, but the book has some stuff that's not in the movie. Now, I got this thing written down. I'm going to try to find this thing for you. To what he says here. Cause something. So this thing takes over. Let's get this seed. And then the thing was called the ancient enemy. That's you. You are the ancient enemy. Anyway, this thing takes over. And what happens is this. This black guy, the one that he's working for the government, he comes up and they have to call this guy, Peter O'Toole, because he was writing these particular books on this stuff. But they go into it. He was writing these books in the 60s on this. They threw him out of the university because his stuff was not coinciding with that regular old bullshit science. And what they was trying to tell you, that it was a conspiracy. If you write the truth and shit, they can ostracize your ass for coming out with stuff that's only supposed to be kept for the secret society. So in the book, they go into how the scientists, they got rid of his ass. And so he start writing for this rag paper like that Weekly World News and stuff. Anyway, they call him because he was writing about the ancient enemy. So this thing came in and said the ancient enemy. So they had to call him. And they call, I can't think of his name, but they call him because Timothy Flight was his name, to write the story. Okay? Now, he's there, the black guy that's working with the government. They say it's called chaos. In the flesh, pure and simple, chaos. The ancient enemy. Now, as you know, as Richard King and everybody tell you, the chaos is melanin. That's what chaos is. We are the chaos beings. That's everything that's being fought is being fought against the chaos thing. So now, he comes in, the black guy comes in, and he's working, he got on the white suits. Like, you know, the white suits, they pick up all kind of shit with, you know, all kind of oil spills and shit. They got on the white suits, you know, radiation and all this. And they got three or four or five other people with him that got on the white suits. This thing starts busting out the damn helmet and sticking. This thing comes and start killing them by breaking through the glass of that particular helmet they got and killing them. But each one, it was a Chinese guy and a white, it was a Chinese woman and a white guy, broke out the glass and killed them. It killed everybody else, certain way, just literally got into them and just killed them. The black guy was standing up there, and this thing came up out of the ground, went up in him. He said, what's happening? And when it didn't break out his glass at first. When it got up in him and killed him, his helmet filled up with this black substance. It was literally taking out his melanin, or his particular spirit was leaving the physical and coming back with this thing which we are all a part of. And then when it comes back, and so it's his helmet, and you got to really look at it, because his shit, the only one, the other ones that break through there and kill him, his helmet fills up with this black substance, that's melanin. It's in the damn movie. His shit fills up with melanin. Other motherfuckers' shit, they don't have melanin, so they just die by it. His shit fill up with melanin, fills up his eyes, and then it comes back down like this. And he says, write the story. He says, write the story. After it fills up with melanin, he says, and I got it right here. He says, write the story. And this is what, and he says,
Let me get it right here. I want to get this right. I got it. Hold on 1 minute. Because I want to say this because they just come right. It's not in the book because the book was written in 1982. Is written in 1982. But the movie just came out, but I want to get this thing right for you on what he says on the actual tape. Okay. It's the ancient enemy. I got to read it. It says, do your research. Write the gospel. Write the gospel. Then it says, and he said, this is it. He says, do your research. Write the gospel. He says, study my skin. This is the black guy say. He says, study my skin. No, he said, my flesh. Study it. Write the gospel, but do not leave. Witness the miracle. He was talking about. The black guy says, in the movie, he says, study my damn skin. Now, it's not in the book. It came out in 1992. But the government, they put this shit out now. They're putting out all these movies. This black person, now, let me read that. Let me go through this again. So when you see the movie, you'll see. There's only one major player in there that's black. The shit hits him. His damn shit fills up with melanin. Then it comes back down. And he says, write the story. Study my skin. This was a black man say. And witness the miracle. This is what this shit says. So they go to the computer. Now let me read some of my notes because I was channeling when it was going. The black substance is the black substance is the black man also. And he says is the black substance. Now, in the movie, it's the same black substance that is in the X-File movie. All this shit runs together now. You take these movies and put them together, it makes a complete story. I'll give you some of the movies again in a minute to make the complete story. And all right. Then it says, then this is what he says. Now, they go to the computer. They go to the computer, and they take this black substance, and they tap it into the computer, and the shit starts talking. And on the movie, he says, one of your species has preordained my existence. Only in me can you obtain immortality. Not God, not Christ, but only in me. What he's talking about, the Christ is that. But they were trying to say all this old fundamentalistic shit. He said, one of your species has preordained my existence. Which is talking about black people. We're the only people that could preordain something because we was the only motherfuckers around long enough to do the shit. It's right in the movie when it comes to the actual computer, what they're actually talking about. You see. Now, in the movie they're talking about this oil which they call hydrocarbon. That's melanin. Hydrocarbon, that is melanin. Now, I want to go to the actual book because because I got some notes in here, but I want to show you this in the actual book. Page 130 in the book, page 101 to 108. Let's see what this thing says. No, excuse me. Page 301 to 308. Let's see. And see what it says. Because he just comes in and says that one of your race preordained my existence. You see what I'm saying? And it's only through me can you obtain immortality, talking about this melanin, which they don't have. You see what I'm saying? And which they don't have. Now, in the book, they go into a whole dialogue which this thing starts talking. Now, this is the thing talking in the book. The same melanin says, Jesus loves me, yes, I know. For the Bible tells me so. The Bible is full of shit. Jesus is dead. Send the damn book now. This is the same black melanin substance. Jesus is dead. God is dead. I am alive. Do you want to play 20 questions? You got to get the book. Sheriff Hammond, that's the guy he's talking to. Do you want to play 20 questions?
and all. Do you want to pray through any questions? Sheriff Hammond says, use this name, use his name, Jotam, and then far bigger, more disturbing, surprise, surprise, hold on, let me see. Ellen, he's talking this particular guy. The name burned on the screen. The name of his dead wife, which was so-called, he's given this sheriff's dead wife. Every muscle in her body grew tense, and he waited for something more to flash, and but for long seconds, there was only a precious name he could not make his eyes take his eyes away from it. Then it says, Ellen Rock, that's his particular wife. Then the machine says, Ellen feeds the worms. And all. Ellen feeds the worms. Then it says, will Timmy die? Then it says, Timmy rots, Ellen rots, Ellen rots in hell. This is the thing talking. Shall we have a little chat? Shall we have a little chat? He's still saying, shall we have a little chat? Shall we have a little chat? And so she keeps saying, who are you? Who are you? And I'm just going to read what this thing is saying. Let me see. He says, who are you? And then it goes on. I'm just going to get to the particular point right here. Yes, what is your name? I have many names. Yes, what is your name? He says, Chaos. It says, what other names do you have? Are you stupid? Ask another question. He said, provide a physical description of yourself. He said, I am alive. Be more specific. The guy says, be more specific. He says, I am by nature unspecific. Are you human? Is that possibility also, talking about could be human. He says, where's Glenn Copperfield? That's one guy in the thing. He says, dead. He said, where's his body? He says, gone. He said, where is it gone? He said, boring bitch. He's talking to this particular person and all. It says, where are the others? Galen Carpathia? He says, dead. What did you do to them? He said, did you kill them? He said, yes. He said, why did you kill them? He says, clarify. He says, you are all dead. And I just want to get to the particular point on what he's talking about here. Because there's a whole particular thing that is actually going on. Anyway, let me just get to a particular part here. There's this whole dialogue with this particular thing in so many words. And what this particular thing is actually saying is that it wants this particular thing to write its story. And based on everything else, it says that you don't exist or you are nothing, and this thing needs to actually write the particular stories. And whenever they were trying to find out what it is, he kept telling them that this, I am bigger or I am more ancient and I can't even clarify really am. So he goes on and he says, well, I'm going to show you a picture of what I am. I'm going to come into the physical and show you what I am. And he said, look down there, there's a little black spider. He said, that is me. So there you go again. It's that same bug thing that is actually talking about here. But anyway, it goes on, and they have to use this particular substance that they use to clean up the Exxon Valdez that cleans up carbon or eats carbon or eats the oil to actually subdue it. But it doesn't really kill it. It just takes it back to the place where it is. Now, it's interesting because the guy Dean Coons, in the end, he has a note to the reader. And this is what he says. Like all characters in this novel, Timothy Flight, who was played by Peter O'Toole, is a fictional person. But many other mass disappearances to which he refers to are not merely fragments of the author's imagination. They really have happened. The disappearance on Roanoke Island, a colony of mysterious deserted Eskimo village, Roanoke Island, and also the mysterious deserted Eskimo village in Anjajunkie, or whatever that is, the banished Mayan population, and unexplained loss of thousands of Spanish soldiers in 1771. They all say this in the actual movie also, too, when Peter O'Toole is talking. And equally mysteriously loss of Chinese battle lions in 1939, and certain other cases mentioned in Phantoms are actually well-documented historical events. You see what I'm saying? So he goes in to say that in actuality on the last page that he's writing this stuff, but all this particular stuff that started disappearing, and he gives all these particular things are actually historical events, and he's saying they're disappearing based on this particular entity. What we are, that every now and then it resurfaces and takes a little bit of people. But now, based on this black hole and why they are putting these particular things on, everything they put it on, they put these monsters on, but they got to kill it. That's a part of the ritual. So while they're putting it on and all, they're trying to slow down this particular energy, and that's the only way they're doing it. They're reaching for shit, but that's the only way that they're actually doing this particular, trying to do this stuff. Now, let me show you some other science on this, because I just figured this out, too. Because we also know that before, you were scared of the Baphometic goat. It is the ultimate symbol of so-called Satan, which you have this particular symbol, which is supposed to be the five-pointed star or whatever, but it has some stuff like this, and it has some eyes or whatever, and you know it as the so-called the Satan's horns and stuff, which is the upside-down star. Yeah, with the hexagon or something, the pentagon or hexagon. Then you get this particular one of the same. Now, this is the Egyptian symbol of the same thing. You see, of the same ram that you get in the same, you know, which is also the symbol of what? Aries, which is the same ram thing. You get this particular ram thing, which is also the golden fleece. You know this particular part of the same ram, you know. Now, all of these are so-called the symbols of the doggone Satan. But this is the other mystery that you don't understand also, too. Look at this. All three of these, but look at this. What it's really dealing with. Fallopian tube and the damn ovaries. And that's the real shit right here. And that's what this thing is dealing with. You see what I'm saying? The whole reproductive system, the womb and all that type of thing. And these are the same doggone aspects of the same thing. The mystery to this particular part right here is actually, you know, which is the same doggone thing. Now, it's interesting because I said the last time that I was here that they used the crocodile in Egypt as the ultimate symbol of Christ. It's one of the earliest symbols of Christ, is Sebet. And I said, why did they use the crocodile? And I told you that every other animal, including the lion, if you wander into his den, depends on whether it had its meal or whatever the deal is, you might live. A shark, if it don't see no blood or whatever, you might be able to swim with it. Compromise with. There's only one animal in the entire world that there is no compromise. Whenever it come in contact with your ass, you die. And that's the goddamn crocodile. I don't give a damn how many damn meals it got. There's never enough time to kill your ass. Not to kill your ass. You see what I'm saying? It is literally...
Why did they choose the crocodile?
choose that as the ultimate symbol of Christ. It's also going back to this whole theology of hate and no compromise. Now, I told you that the last time. Now, it's interesting because we know that the back of the head and the base of the base of the skull and the top of the spine is where you get the medulla oblongata, the mouth of God. This is the mouth of God. This is where the most concentrated part of the melanin is. Now, this is the deal. I go see the damn movie, The Water Boy. We need to go see some dang The Water Boy. And in the movie, The Water Boy, they got one little thing up in there. They just dropped the whole shit, and I'm like, why? He's in the classroom, and he's talking to the, and the teacher says, why is the crocodile so damn aggressive and mean? It says because it has an enlarged medulla oblongata. So now we even understand why the actual ancient used the symbol of the crocodile as the most divine part of the Christ, which is Nephi, is anointed with crocodile oil based on this medulla oblongata, which is the most concentrated part of the damn melanin, the substantia nigra. You see what I'm saying? And it's right there in the damn water boy, and I'm like, look at this shit here. I just went and lectured on this the last time we was here about this whole crocodile symbol of Sebek. You see what I'm saying? The crocodile symbol of Sebek. Now, you want to go get, there's three movies, the Highlander 1, Highlander 2, and Highlander 3, The Final Dimension. Now, in Highlander 3, The Final Dimension, his final dimension came out in 1994. Highlander 1 came out in 1986. Highlander 2 came out in 1992. And then 2 years later, 1994, Highlander 3, The Final Dimension came out, which is the last of the movies. He battles Mario Van Peebles. Why is it that he battles a black man in The Final Dimension? And the black man is playing damn Seth Typhon. I think he's playing Cain or something. He's playing Cain, as you know, is the biblical representation of Seth Typhon. So this was also an actual ritual where they had to battle the black man for the actual conquest. Well, out of all of your so-called prizes or the Highlander thing, he battles the black man at the end. Still the same ritual, but it was interesting that that particular part happened. Now look at this. Huh?
Only black man,
too. Exactly.
Out of the whole series.
Well, they had one guy that got his head cut off on the first one. Remember, he was the guy that had on African clothes. It's the first one. He was at the gathering, and all. But it's interesting. Remember the first black, the first guy in black, Corrigan, which was the evil enemy in the first Highlander? And they said he came from Russia. And he was just, came from the first one. Anyway, come to find out he was a black Russian. That's why he wore all that particular black. Because in the book, his mentor is an Arab, what they say, which is actually a Moor. But, you know, now, I think I'm going to give you this particular word here because you got to look at this particular thing here. And you got to go back and you got to rent the movie. You have to rent the movie. Clash of the Titans. Now, I'm going back through all these shits and looking it up, and you got to rent the movie Clash of the Titans. I'm going to show you this. Now, interesting, because the guy who wrote Clash of the Titans is the same guy who wrote Aliens. I can't think of his name right now, but I want to show you this particular, what you call it. First of all, Anubis in Greek is called... let me get this right. This word. Let me see. I think this is it. Kerberos. Kerberos. Let me see. I'm going to get this right. I'm going to get the right one. is a certain, let me see, I'm trying to see if it's some, hold on 1 minute. I want to get the right thing now. I don't want to, anyway, it's also in the, it's also in the, yes, it's Kerberos. Anyway, he's called the demon of the pit or the hound of hell. Now, it's interesting. This particular, this is also Anpu, which is the Egyptian word of Kemet. Now, it's interesting because if you go and get the Clash of the Titans, this name Kerberos becomes Calibus. And Calibus, if you look at him, is a person that's cursed by Zeus. And he's the living in the swamps. And if you look at him, he got horns and he got a nappy hair. And he's brown skin. First of all, this is the same as Anubis, which Anubis is the black, is this the ultimate energy of the black man. But anyway, he cuddly wove this thing, and he wove this particular devil thing in with the afro, and you go back and look at Calibus. Kerberos, or Cerebus, or whatever that is Calibus in there, and that's the black man that they got cursed. So the mythology has different woven things in it because also Perseus is a form of Horus. So you get Jason is also a form of Horus, Heru. Perseus in another mythology is the same form of Horus. And in another mythology, Hercules is a form of Horus. You see what I'm saying? It's a form of Horus. But it's very key when you get the actual movie, just go back and look at that particular part. Go and get Alien Resurrection. Go look at that. That's the one that came out last year this time. And in that particular movie, because the same alien now, did she say, it lives, you die. You got to identify with these things because this is what you're going to turn into on these white people. And niggas, too, to turn them into the same thing that you are. It's like a vampire thing, too, where as you bite them and they become you. This is what the thing is. Now, in the movie, now remember now, in this particular thing, they specifically, when they brought her back, they cloned her and they brought her back, but they cloned her and she got the alien DNA inside of her. So that means this woman and alien are human and alien joined. The alien is nothing but melanin.
Yes.
That's what you are. But if you notice, in this particular thing, her blood becomes acid. And the blood can burn through shit too. That's what melanin is. You go back and watch the movie, that's what melanin is. Then she gives birth to this particular thing at the end, which is supposed to be the perfect. It's both human and alien, but it's this white-looking thing combined and all. Anyway, that is a... just get past the damn look of the thing. This particular thing was supposed to go back to the earth and supposed to clean out the earth. Anyway, that is the Christ figure that she gave birth to. Get past the look and all that shit. That's the Christ figure. You see what I'm saying? But you can go back and look at this particular stuff because it's the key is that they're not really putting this stuff out just for the sake of making movies. Now this damn movie, this is the damn number. This is the fourth one. They had already killed off in Alien 3 and brought her back as a clone just to illustrate a doggone point and for based on this cycle. You see what I'm saying? So the movie Event Horizon is the same as Horus on the horizon, or Heru on the horizon, which is the Sphinx, which is the gateway of chaos, or the black hole. Now, in the movie, the Event Horizon that you see, if you look at the ship, turn it this way, the ship is made like this.
Cross.
You look at it real thing, it's actually, this is how the ship is. It's actually the Ankh.
Mm-hmm.
You go back and study it real good and look at the ship. in the vent horizon, it is the arm. And on the inside of this particular part here, he creates an artificial black hole. And he says that I have torn a doorway into the universe. That's what he says up in there. I torn a doorway into the universe. And they keep saying that, well, what is it? They say it's hell. It's evil. All that shit is to show you that the concept of hell and actually evil and stuff like this, it just means that it's anti this universe. He said, I have told, and he even gouged out his eyes. So why you could have, he said, well, we ain't going to be needing eyes. Where the hell we going? Because it's talk, we're going to be dealing with the third eye. Mm-hmm. Got to go back and look at this thing. But when this shit opened up, it made the perfect chaos symbol. Anytime you see this particular symbol, you know, it's different ones, there's different kinds, but basically the chaos symbol, you see. Then you got some with spikes on it like this. It made the ultimate chaos symbol, which is the black dot, you see. Now, this is the interesting part. In Peter Carroll's book, which is the introduction to chaos magic, there's Libra Chaos and there's Libra Null and the Psychonauts, which is chaos magic is melanin magic. This one came out in 1987. Then he has, this is Peter Carroll's book, Libra Null and the Psychonauts, Introduction into Chaos Magic, which is Melanin Magic, as well as Libra Chaos. Then there's the other one, Phil Hines' book, Condensed Chaos. You ever get that one? Condensed Chaos. You got it? Yeah, Phil Hines' book, Condensed Chaos. He has another one out called Prime Chaos, but you might be able to order it some kind of way, but the Condensed Chaos, I think, is basically the revised version of the same book. Phil Hines' book, Condensed Chaos. But this is Peter Carroll's. He has Libra Null and the Psychonaut. He also has Libra Chaos. Now, but it's interesting because Libra Null, this particular Null here, is the same Null period that we are in, which the Dogon talks about, this particular period, which is the intermediate period of time getting the hell out of this thing, which means that in actuality it's a time where the actual physical residue peters out. Now, it's interesting because in here he talks about the Illuminati in this book. And in so many words, he said that we're coming up with this chaos magic because when we are in the barbed wire fence, it's going to be us against the government based on this chaos magic. Now, first of all, these damn white people don't have the damn chaos shit for that to work. Because they've been dabbling in the chaos magic since 1979. And obviously, if it was to work 19 years, if they have produced nothing, it's not for them. Now, let me show you how this shit is very serious with this event horizon thing and this whole chaos thing. Every now and then something will happen in real life that lets you know you're on the right track. I got a friend that works at the Sphinx Metaphysical Bookstore. Heavy set brother. He's a martial arts thing. But he kind of a little naive and all because he worked around them white people and all, you know, and stuff like this and all. But he's still, in so many words, he was telling me, I know what's up. I'm in here, but I know what time it is because he mentioned something. Because when I come in there, he be talking about melanin and all that shit. I'm like, man, you need to shut the fuck up around these crackers. I'm incognito when I come up in this bitch. Not that I'm scared and all this kind of thing, but I'm not letting these motherfuckers know shit.
That's right.
I'm an agent and stuff. So he's reading the book, Libra Null and the Psychonaut. White person comes in. No, no, no. He said, the white person comes in. No, no, no. You don't need to be reading that. That stuff there will tear up the universe and there's nothing to replace it with.
Right about
I said, wait a minute. First of all, I said, if he was so concerned, why didn't he go to the damn owner of the store and say, what the fuck you doing selling this? I said, first of all, that damn shit that been out since 1987, they've been dealing with this since 1979. I said, the book been on the damn bookshelf since 1987. He got two other books, because he got one now called Cyber Magic, Advanced Chaos Thing. I said, so, this cracker didn't come up in there and ask him to take it off the shelf. I said, what is he telling you? He was concerned that your ass was reading Chaos Magic. You understand what I'm saying? Because that's the ultimate thing that they don't want your ass to deal with. You see? So he was not saying it as a result of you just a regular person reading Chaos Magic, and he would say this as he see anybody. He was concerned because you were a black person reading the Chaos book. And he didn't want you to read the shit, and he was trying to discourage your ass. Just like one cracker begged me not to get this Goetia book. No, man, it's what it is. You don't need to invent nothing, all this kind of shit. I'm like, wait a minute. What it is, my ass, what it is I'm suffering down this bitch. Now, what it is might be all right for you, but what it is, I'm a goddamn nigga around this motherfucker, and I'm tired of this bullshit. So what it is ain't good enough. Fuck what it is.
What it be.
What it be. And what it's going to be like. You see what I'm saying? It's going to be some ass whipping up in here. But for the mere fact the cracker walked in the store and saw him with that and said, no, he was talking about you don't need to deal with that. See where I'm coming from? Just like Sister Delilah has the chaos symbol around her neck and bought the thing. And when she go back to buy some more,
they ain't got no more.
They ain't got no more for her hands, and other motherfuckers like her. You understand what's going on? Now, it's just talking about melanin. Now, this is the key. I'm going to show you something here. There's a guy named William G. Gray. He wrote a book, The Ladder of Lights, and he wrote a bunch of stuff. So right before he dies, the last book he writes before he dies in 1989, right before he dies, he writes, let me see when he died. Yeah, right before he dies, his last book, he wrote a book called Between Good and Evil, Polarities of Power by William G. Gray. Now, in the book, he goes into all the Satan stuff. He goes into all the Satan stuff, and I'm going to try to see where this cracker is going, because he's rambling a little bit about the shit he's talking about and all, and he talks about the anti-factor. Now, then I figure out what this whole book is about, and he says, equivalence among spiritual lines is also occurring, and one of the indicators is the emergence of what is called chaos magic circles. Chaos magic is the opposite of cosmos magic, because that's that cosmos, as I showed you, there's universe A and universe B. Universe A is the cosmos. The chaos sphere is connected with the black hole, which is our realm. It's opposite of cosmos magic that breaks down order for the sheer sake of doing so without anything replacing it with anything better. Now, first of all, that's some bullshit. This is white people trying to steer your ass away with that, scare your ass. Now, I'm going to show you something in a few minutes. It is anarchy, pure and simple, destruction without the slightest attempt at construction, the catalyst without analyst, the wreckage without restoration, the negative without positive. Put it in a nutshell, the elimination of everything in existence. You damn right, universe A. If possible, and to put into other words, nuclear nastiness. Now, first of all, that's what melanin is. This is what this cracker is telling you what melanin is. Nuclear nastiness. And he goes on, and he starts reading, and I realize that in this particular book, his whole thing on the devil and everything and the anti-factor, his whole thing is this particular part of to fight against the anti-life enigma called chaos magic, or just chaos mathematics, the chaos theory, and everything which is actually our side, the dark side, melanin. So in so many words, his last book, they told him to deal with this chaos shit which was emerging after doggone Leibniz and the Psychonaut come out. They, his last damn book is battling against this doggone chaos magic. Now the thing is, this is some bullshit about when the other white boy come in and say, no, you tap the thing, there's nothing to put it back with. See, first of all, the white man can't tear up shit because he don't have the damn energy to do it, because in order to tear up something, you got to have something that pre-existed before this particular universe existed. That was the whole thing that was going on with Deep Impact, Armageddon, and these medias. They say these medias are things that were building blocks that was in place, that was the build. It's the leftover building blocks that was used to create this particular universe. Well, the stuff that was before this universe was darkness, which was chaos, which was us. So the building blocks that were used to create the universe is still around. That's what the fuck we are. That's what the X-Files say, this shit that was here before the dinosaurs. That shit that killed the dinosaurs, it says. It killed the dinosaurs. The key is the... So...
Life get hard, you ease your soul and cleanse your mind. Learn to fly to reach the stars. You take the time to look behind and say, look where I came, look how far I done came. They say that dreams come true, and when they do that, there's a beautiful thing. Do you wanna, be happy? I said, do you wanna, be free. I said, do you wanna, be?
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
All right, y'all. Greetings, everybody.
everybody. Thank you guys for tuning in to another broadcast of the Hands and Awareness Radio. As you guys always know, I'm your host, Saru, and we are joined with the Ear family. As always, we got Auntie ELJ in the building with us today. Eternal, as you guys know, has a lot of events and stuff that he's doing. So all summer, you guys, some of us are going to kind of be interchanging. You know, we're going to be in and out or whatever, but we should be back on schedule as far as consistency. Excuse me, let me say, the consistency for every show to still run is going to happen. But as far as us being together, you know, all three on every show, you know, we'll probably get back to that as the months progress, guys. But as of now, guys, just all of us are going to kind of be interchanging because life happens, you guys. Auntie LJ had a death in her family. Well, you know what? I noticed, actually, and I said it yesterday on yesterday's broadcast, that happened in three. I had the death with my cousin, and then your grandma, and then Eternal's uncle. You know what I'm saying? So that happened like right back to back. And then we started, and then all three of us actually kind of was like thrown into deep shadow work, you know, deep things that we needed to address or make, you know, whatever it was for you. You know what I'm saying? But I was observing that, and I thought that was actually kind of fascinating in a essence. You know what I mean? Because a lot of us, not a lot of us, all three of us have done some grave work within the last 2 years alone. So kudos and shout out to that. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Guys, thank you. This is the fourth episode of Theology of Hate. You know what I'm saying? So, guys, Bobby is teaching you guys. If you're just now tuning into this series, guys, run it back because Bobby is – we are in a spiritual community to where they teach us to hate our own selves. But they do this on a level because, see, we are chaos beings. Bobby taught long ago, we are chaos beings. So when I hear things like, no more negativity, positive vibes only, you know. Do you know that that is actually teaching you to go against yourself, teaching you how not to delve in and go deeper with inside of yourself, guys? So to be quite blunt, when you hear no negative vibes, it's a motherfucking trap. It's a setup to keep you stuck, period, all right? So, you know, when they teach you, Bobby always said too, baby, when you see the world making a left, go right, all right? And the opposite is same. When you see everybody else doing one thing and we think we're supposed to do that, hint, hint, COVID vaccine, do the opposite, all right? Because anything that happens in mass order is a motherfucking setup. So go back, run this back. So peace unto you, Auntie LJ. You know, kudos to you because even in knowing you these last 2-3 years, you know what I'm saying, you have, I think you noticed, you got to notice that you have actually grown in the arena of, you know, how you are accepting people transitioning.
I'm selfish.
I think. I know. You know what? I know that you are. Let me say this. Maybe I'm missing something, but I know that you are on a level because, you know, I fucks with the Scorpio energy real deep. So I know you are, and I know that's why there ain't no changing you anytime soon. I do know that, but I also know that you are growing in your own way, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I say I'm selfish, yeah. I'm selfish with what I love. And I'm selfish with what I love because I deal in attachment to what I love. So when the universe comes in and it says they got to go, then I'm the negotiator, but not right now. Okay, they can go, but wait, hold on. But wait, not today.
Okay.
But hold on. I'm not finished yet. Like, why you come and do this? Why?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get something done. So it is
right.
Levels to it. For me, the last one with my grandma was a roller coaster just because there's so much chaos in deep-rooted childhood issues from the immediate children. And then that trickled down to the grandchildren. And my grandmother was blessed enough to see her fifth generation. So you have these highs and these lows and favoritism and, you know, just a lot of different stuff, monetary attachments. You know, she was my mama. She was my mama. She, you know, you don't tell me because I was born first. And it's just a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so from the shit, I have to make the shit fertilizer and grow from it.
Mm-hmm.
That shit is fertilizer.
Yep.
You know? And so in that, for me personally, I got a gift from it, you know, and I didn't, initially it was like, ugh, this is the miry clay, this shit getting thick, it's drying, I got to get out of it. And I realized that my tears were moistening the earth that I thought I was being stuck in so that I could move, and if I could move, I could shift, and if I could shift, I could get out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was deep. It was deep. It was really deep. For those of you who know me, my mother transitioned 11 years ago. Her mother transitioned in 06. And then my grandmother transitioned on the 7th. So it has been a loop-de-loop roller coaster. Also, Delvin's aunt had transitioned 3 days before my grand on the 4th. 3 days before my grandmother transitioned. So, but in the last, my uncle transitioned 3 weeks ago. My uncle, so it started off, I've done I've done 7 funerals and been on the highways and byways in the last 3 weeks. So your auntie tired. My body's tired.
Yeah.
My feet tired. My feet swole
it's
up
a
on
different-
me.
It is a, you know I'm good at reading auras. It is a different energy of growth about you.
It definitely is.
This is not the same auntie dealing with death last year.
Right. And what I'm doing is I'm just letting it show me. I'm letting me teach me. I'm allowing me the space to see why I react and why I respond and what is the difference between the two. I'm allowing things to show me where they're at so that I can get my grounding and my footing together to recognize that the old spaces and places of being around the mulberry bush. And so now when I come around the mulberry bush, I recognize the different shapes of berries on the bush instead of just going around the mulberry bush. So now I have a point of understanding. If I did 3 right, I'm right back where I started. But if I did a right and then a left, now I've shifted. You know? And so a lot of us are not doing, we're not applying it. I literally, with my grandmother, had released a lot of things into the universe years ago. And during her transition and during her services, because she had 2 services.
What services, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, she had the 1 service here in Georgia. My grandmother was into the Church of God in Christ, or AKA Kojic. So she was was holiness. So we did a service here in Georgia where she lived, and then her body was buried in Tonawanda, New York. And so we had to take the body up there and go to the service for those that were there, which was very trying because, you know, the physical body is me. And so here in Georgia, everything worked out great. But you can't thaw meat out and send it all in the atmosphere at so many hundred thousands of feet and then bring it back down into the atmosphere and freeze it again to open it again, to close it again, to open it again. You know what I mean? So when she got up there, her body was not what we had seen here in Georgia. So there were a lot of issues with
Wait
trying to make
minute.
Her presentable
Whoa.
For them.
Yeah.
Oh, so y'all had a lot of shit going on in the background.
Yeah, so you know, her her skin had started darkening. To look at my grandmother, you knew she was Indian. Her skin had started darkening. You know, the chemicals that they had did here to preserve the body, because they were sending her off in the airport. See, altitude and different things like that affect the body differently. We all talk about we're ready to leave this earth, but when you take your feet off this earth, your body change when you are at a certain altitude.
Mm.
Okay, so the science is still prevalent. And nature is going to always do what it does, regardless of the chemicals created to try to preserve it. So we have to be aware of those things. So by the time we got her to New York and got her to Tonawanda, her mouth had reopened from them crazy going it closed. And that was a problem. Her body had started deteriorating because the people who did the body here only embalmed her for her being shown here. They didn't put enough embalming point in the body to preserve it for all of the other things that were going on after here. So, you know, it was a lot of makeup. It was a lot of, no, we're not going to show her. Yes, we are going to show her. Will we use slide clips, run and get pictures and just put up pictures and keep the casket closed? Family who had wanted to see her. Just her skin had gotten real dark. Her eyes were starting to sink in. Her mouth would not close. They could not really get her mouth to reclose. So they used so much crazy goo to close her mouth that it was, you know, real dry looking and pasty type looking. She just was not what we had seen here. And you know, it was, you know, the ethics of it all. You know, do we really do this? Is this about her or is this about y'all? At the end of the day, who is this about? You know, are we going to tell her true story in its totality, or are we only going to show the grander sides of what people knew her to be from the illusion of when she walked out her door? So there were a lot of different levels of what the fuck going
family
on. But the higher levels of this was when she transitioned, she gave me her last breath, and that was pivotal. And instead of looking at it as, oh, mama died on me, it was, all this time you've been wondering if I love you, and the breath of life that I held that manifested you from your father, which was my son, I now give it to you as I leave.
So that's your dad's
and
mother.
Yes. And so for me to be able to receive that and the spiritual me take over the emotional me, I was able to now see the gift that she was giving me from her transition. I have sisters and a brother. I have sisters and brothers in California, and two of my sisters came. So she opened the gate that were once locked and closed for me to rebond with my siblings. And then to even make it right, because when she went to New York, their mother and stepdad flew into New York for the services, so we were able to correct what we thought was wrong. And we were able to speak directly instead of having middle people sending messages that were incorrect messages. So it was a lot of healing that was taking place. It was a lot of facing things that you didn't even know why they were things. Why is this a thing? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, you know, my sisters that live here, we all were getting together and talking and, you know, hanging out, and that had started even before the transitionings really took place. But there's a healing that's going on amongst the siblings. And I can remember when I was 23 years old and I asked the universe to allow me to be able to bond with my siblings as
in a healthy diaspora. And with my mm-hmm. grandmother transitioning, everybody was coming in, so it made that energy now prevalent. So here at 49 years old, something that I asked for at 23 was manifesting
mm-hmm.
in my reality, and I could touch them. And we would, our embrace was just a ball of tears, like, oh, my God, I finally get to touch you. I finally get to see you. We knew of each other but had never been in one another's physical presence. We had video chatted. We had talked. But to actually mm-hmm. hold these babies in my arms, and they were like, oh, my God, you look young like us. And I'm like, oh, my God, I got children your age. And you know,
yeah.
It was the highs and the lows of it. It was learning one another. It was taking away what folks had told you about and being able to come up with your own understanding. It was
okay,
finding the polarity of us not even being raised together, but seeing each other in one another. And like, wow, I do that. Wow, like, this is genetics. We didn't even learn this. This is something that we all just do. So, you know, it was interesting, and it was love, and it was a level of closure to the negative and opening to a probability and possibility that we all agreed we wanted. And it was beautiful.
Mm.
So in my grandmother's transition, she gave us keys, and we unlocked the doors, and we're bonding and communicating and in chat groups together, and hey, how's your day, and what did you eat for lunch, and blah blah blah.
Oh, nice.
And so it's great. It really is. It's great. Hopefully one day I'll be able to create an energy where we're all of my siblings are all together, where we can get one picture of our us and our
mm-hmm.
children. That's the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And be what we are, you know, in our organic
mm-hmm.
authenticity. Yeah, that was great. To kind of kick in on what Bobby Hemmett was talking about, this thing is energy. And we have
yeah.
to understand our own individual organic energy. A lot of us are public pretenders because we want to be accepted. And if you're not accepting you in your 360 and your totality, then how dare you fix your mouth, face, or energy to ask anybody else to do so. If
mm-hmm.
you're not willing to deal with you and who you authentically are, then how dare you fix your face, your mouth, your energy, your whatever you are, to ask somebody or feel that somebody else owes you what you're not willing to give to yourself.
Mm.
You're out of
well.
Order. You're out of order. And you're only going to deal with what you get from who you authentically are. Well, what are you saying, LJ? I'm saying that if you don't like your stank attitude, how the fuck you want somebody else to hang out around you with your stank attitude? I'm saying that if you gonna love me in my totality, and don't love me like you love yourself, because you ain't loving yourself correctly yet. So stand in your corner and fix your 45 mm-hmm. degrees and make it the 90, and take the 90 and make it the 180, and take the 180 and make it the 360, and then sit at the table with me. Because as you go high and low, you have to sometimes hurt yourself enough to recognize the P and the pain, so that you can change the P and turn it into not being so much pain, but the gain of what that pain brought you, so that you can grow and be available for those you say you want to love, for those say you want to help. Come on.
Can I interject with that real quick? Because
mm-hmm.
I feel that that's great ultimately, but sometimes as you're growing through as the individual, that can kind of hurt
mm-hmm.
your feelings a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, you know, you're not good enough yet. You know what I mean? You're not good enough yet to sit at this table.
And it's only
with
not
me
good enough
yet
if that's where you are and that's how you're perceiving it, which still solidifies and validates what I'm saying. Because you're not, I'm okay. not good enough yet is how you see it. And
right.
you're not good enough yet could come in and somebody else who is doing the work and applying the work, you come and fuck them up. That's not fair. That's not okay. If
okay.
you're in a burning house and I'm saying, nephew, come out the window. The house is burning. And you're saying, auntie, I'm scared of heights. Am I supposed to walk away from MJ and Michaela and BJ and put my life on the line to snatch your ass out of a house that you won't even save yourself from and all you got to do is come out the window?
Well, there it is.
That's not
well,
okay.
There's that.
That's not
that.
Okay. So
yeah.
when yeah. I see, we have to understand where we are when we're processing information. And how we mm-hmm. see the information is how we feel about it. But when we're talking about a me, are we being considered? Because in the relationship, it's a we. It's not a me. And so if every time
yeah.
you come around, you're sad and you're miserable and you're fussing and you're cussing and this motherfucker this and that motherfucker that and they ain't cool and this and this and this, you're bringing chaos and I'm trying to heal. And if I can't heal with you, then I'm hurting you. And I'm not going to allow you to hurt me if I'm no longer hurting
well,
you.
So, well, that protecting your energy, right? A level of protecting your energy?
But it's not even, you don't have to really protect your energy. You just have to be around what's conducive for you. And everybody all the time is not conducive. Perfect example. Hey, nephew, what you doing? Auntie, I got to call you back. You're not available.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. We have attachment that we don't even recognize our attachments, and then we self-sabotage because we want to give the responsibility to outside people on a job that's only something that we can do. You can't make me be accountable and responsible for you if I don't know how to do that for myself.
Well, yeah.
You
true.
Can't tell me you're my friend, you love me, you care about
Let me.
And you calling me with your problems, and I just said, hello, I'm dealing with bereavement. My grandmother just passed. And you say, oh, okay, that's fine, but I need $20. You got $20 I could buy? Like, fuck what I'm going through.
Yeah, yeah. I had to reroute a friend just last week doing that very thing. So, yeah.
Right. And it's like,
yeah.
Why do you want me to fix you? That's not
yeah.
my job. My job
yeah.
is for you to fix you. And when we're conducive and you know that you are where you at, because people always say, I'm doing the work and ain't nothing changed because you're not doing the work correctly. And in this life, you don't pass on condition. And in this life, there is some children left behind. Ain't no child left behind. You don't pass because you've been in this situation for 3 years. Shit. Ain't nobody pushing you through the system. This is a you dealing with you thing, not a us thing. This is the you that's in the S that says when you get out of the cup of the you, now you're ready for the S, which is us. And we have to deal in our accountability and responsibility in just that space first. If I can help
yeah.
you, then the universe puts me where I need to be to help you. But if me helping you is hurting me, I have to choose me first. I'm sorry. Because I'm only going to be the offering. When I sacrifice, it'll be for me. It'll be for me. What I give off to everybody else for my overflowing cup of love is going to be the offering, not the sacrifice. Because if we continue to sacrifice us as individuals, then who helps them along the way?
Mm-hmm.
If I can pull you in my darkness and you get stuck there and I'm not doing the work needed to get me out of the darkness, how do you think I'm going to help you out of my darkness?
Mm-hmm.
So there is no, we got to get rid of this trauma bonding and self-sabotage energy. We have attachments, and in our attachments, we self-sabotage ourselves. And then when we deal in the attachments and the shit don't work out the way we want it to, we want to blame the people we attach to. Well, I thought you knew this. I thought you was doing the work. Well, why weren't you doing your work so that where I was delayed, you could be on fire, and where I was on fire was where you was delayed, and now it worked. But if you're riding my coattail, now you're making me the bag lady. One monkey can't climb no tree with 15 monkeys hanging from it. But the monkey
so
can climb the tree by itself and throw the rope back.
So as somebody who, you know, often grows through a lot sometimes, and I sit with the elders, you guys, you know what I'm saying? I sit and I learn with people before me. I've always been this way, right? So I'm the combative child that's always crying and throwing hissy fits, but soon gets it later, right? I'll come back with myself approved, as you said, Auntie. So I use that example to say this, that, you know, until we're able to take our own self-accountability, we're going to quit, you know, we're going to keep crying, we're going to keep bitching, we're going to keep doing that. But not until we really, and I will always speak highly of Sensei, you know what I'm saying? Because Sensei, you know, as breezing through, you know what I'm saying, he did leave a lot of gems for me to reflect on, which, and I'm sure I did the opposite with him. You know, but not until we sit down and be still and long enough to really do your work. You know what I'm saying? You'll come
do diligent.
Back, and then we will be able to observe our own selves and how we may not have been, you know, kind of in alignment. I don't want to say incorrect, but in alignment to what was conducive for our betterment. So,
because until you save you, you gonna hurt everybody else. You ever seen somebody drowning in a swimming pool? And you see
you
when
the
lifeguard go out there. When you see the lifeguard go out there, the lifeguard look like they whooping their ass, don't they? You be like, damn, why you doing that? Like, they need help. But then you realize that the lifeguard has to be aggressive. Because if I'm coming to save you and you fighting for your life, you will kill me for you to survive. And so if I'm trying to help you and I'm not strong enough to do so, you'll take me down with you. Because you trying to live and I'm trying to live. And you in fear and I'm in fear. And I can't let you. I've been a lifeguard where I've had to literally... I've jumped in the water, attempted to help somebody. They fight so hard to where they're trying to take me down, and I literally have to push away from them. Because if you can't process that I'm coming to help you and you're now in a state of fighting me, I got to let you go. Now I'm telling you, hey, I'm here to help you. Stop hitting me, and I can help you. Now you hearing me. Now I got your attention.
Yeah.
Now I can help you. But as long as you're trying to take me down, I got to let you go, baby, because I'm not going gentle into that great night. If it's a me or you, I'll tell what happened. So you're going to feel that same way. If it's me or you, baby, you got to go because I got shit to do. You know? So in that is where the space is of where the danger is of trying to help somebody and you're in the same place of needing the same help. You become dangerous. Because now when the water start rising and you scared, anything that you can grab, you're going to take it down to try to stand on top of so you don't go down. I will not be your sacrifice. I'm offering you help so that we both can rise. And that is what's so important about knowing. A lot of us are, no, we can heal together, we can heal together, we can heal together. It's some shit that ain't meant for you to heal together. It's some shit for you to heal. So when we come together, now we're stronger in the healing, but you have to initiate your healing. I can't do that for you. And you can't do that for me. Bobby said, if everybody going right, take the left. Take the left. Why? Because if everybody going right is following. Nobody found out where they're going. But if you take the left, you made a conscious decision to say, if where they going is dangerous, then where I'm going to be safe. And you set those intentions when you chose to take the left. And guess what? When you took the left, those that's like in alignment with you, that's for you, they going to start taking left too.
Yep.
And then you sit
say,
back
wait
and
a minute.
Stand on the clear. But you ain't even got to tell them. This is just the universe is aligning us with where we are, not where we say we are. A lot of us think that we are in spaces and places that we've only heard of. We have not reached the plateau of being there yet. And so we're, oh, yeah, I'm a god. Oh, yeah, I'm a goddess. Oh, yeah, I'm a magician. Oh, yeah, I'm a this. But you ain't never set up and did your own spell. You ain't never created your own recipe. You ain't never did nothing for you by yourself, for yourself, to yourself. But you hollering all this shit. And then you wondering why nobody is really linking with you and taking you serious. And it's because you haven't activated these things in you. And so until you are activated in your whatever,
you're
toxic to everything else. Because you haven't done the work. And you're not going to get part of my check. I don't care how cool we is and how much we work at the same place. I'm not giving you part of my check.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do when we attach ourselves to people who are doing the work. We want part of their check. We want people to look at us and say, oh, she over there with them or he over there with them. And they getting that money. And so I'm supposed to give you my check. And I'm the only one doing the work. No, motherfucker. Not today, tomorrow, or then another day. You a lie.
Ever.
I can't call you and you going to work. You ain't have sleep. You hungry. Ain't had no lunch. And I don't even bring you no lunch. I don't even say, well, shit, I'm going to ride this wave with you because I ain't got my shit together. So I'm going to bring you lunch every day. I just know on Friday you going to get paid and I show up at your job. Last time that I checked, I'm your friend and we love each other and I'm supposed to get part of your check. But I ain't doing no work. I don't work Tuesday and Thursday for you, but I expect for you to work Monday through Friday, get your check, and say, oh, auntie, I got my check. I'm about to cash app you, but auntie ain't showed up nowhere. She ain't brought you no lunch, no breakfast. She ain't gave you no ride. She ain't gave you no gas money to get to work. She ain't helped buy no uniforms. She ain't did shit, but she's supposed to get a check. She's supposed to get part of your shit that you doing the work with. Where is that okay? That's not okay. Mm-hmm. We do the same shit in the spiritual community. We do the same shit in energy in the spiritual community. And it's not okay. And it's not love, and it's a bunch of bullshit. It's trauma bonding. It's attachment. It's you think you slicker than a can of oil because this person is a giver. So now you pimping the shit out of their giving spirit. Buy this, get this, order that, and you ain't even got the shit. You over here calling somebody else to get the shit. You get the shit at a discount price and take their money, but you're telling them you love them. You ordered the shit off of Amazon and did no work on it. You sent it straight from Amazon to their house. You don't change the packaging or nothing, but you want money for it. No, do your part.
You know what? You know
do
what?
Your part.
You know what? I didn't even think about that possibility that they doing that shit. Oh, my God.
But that's what's happening. That's what's happening. You got sisters out here ordering waist beads by the hundreds of waist beads. You don't know who energy on these beads. You don't know nothing. This sister don't even get the beads at her house. You wanted purple, green, or blue? She didn't order it, purple, green, or blue, and sent it straight from Amazon to your door. Ain't touched it, ain't anointed it, ain't prayed over it, ain't did no type of nothing to it. And she got the ball face now to charge you $20 when you and your children can go get some string from the dollar store. Go get some beads and make your own damn waist beads and put your energy on them. Teach your children how to be spiritual and use their energy to create. And because you lazy and want to ride somebody else's coattail, you missed the opportunity. To not even do it for you and your children, but to teach your children that they can do it for themselves and they can make money off of doing it with their creativity, with their energy. with their ability to create a form of income for themselves. And you missed it because you lazy. And you want to ride somebody else's coattail that said that they love you and you love them and they want your check. But you ain't able to reach your plateau because you got attachment issues, because you think that from what they show you, they so high on the hog and they doing something spectacular and they doing something special and all of that shit is in you. And all you got to do is activate you. So now you say, oh, since you got green, blue, and red ones, okay, I got purple, orange, and yellow ones. How about we get together and we can make these together and really put some healing on them and really deal with our experience? Don't you be having bad cramps? Make your waist beads for the sisters that's got bad cramps. And I'll make my waist beads for sisters who got endometriosis. And we'll do something else for women who can't have babies. And we'll do something else a little different for women who don't want to have a whole lot of babies. They've had their babies. They just want to tone it down and only use it for magic. Let's do that. So we got to stop wanting to attach to other motherfuckers that look like they doing something. Because illusion of inclusion is a motherfucker. And it'll have you fucked up. Talking about we healing together. No, you healing and your healing is stagnant and you could have catapulted into a whole nother realm of who you are and you can't get there because your friend needs you. And your friend ain't doing the work. Your friend kicked back on the couch eating popcorn and drinking soda and jujubes. And here you is over here eating celery and peanut butter and fasting and crying and purging. And I got this feeling of just running away and being by myself, but I can't leave my friend. Trauma bond. Cut that shit off.
Yeah.
Heal for you. And come back and get them. Because once you know how it works for you, even if it don't work for them exactly the way it worked for you, now you got a cheat sheet on how it works. And you can say, well, baby, you might not like my way, but my way got it done. So even if you want to do it your way, you can go ahead and do it your way. But if you like, I got this cheat sheet over here for you, and you ain't got to bump your head at that corner to the right because you really need to, like, scoop down and then go through. That's where you get the logistics. That's where you get the knowing. So we got to stop this attachment shit. We got to stop trying to make motherfuckers do what we do, how we doing it, and want everybody to be part of our healing. Everybody didn't hurt you, so everybody ain't meant to be part of your healing.
Yep.
That's not they be.
Powerful gems, y'all. Powerful gems. All right, y'all. Well, we are going to go ahead and bring this to a close. You know what I'm saying? This has been a great broadcast, guys. Theology of hey, but what does it mean for you? You know, the theology of hey, but what does it mean for you? Most important, guys, with this series, we have been taught that negativity, hate, chaos, that's what I wanted to ask you, Auntie. You know, I know we have taught it throughout these broadcasts, but Bobby always teaches how evil is good. Let's hear your thoughts on that.
And it is. If you evil in reverse is living.
It's live.
So if you gonna live, you gonna need your evil, because your evil is gonna help you survive the things that are living with you. Okay? You can't come talking about you live with no dead energy. Energy don't die. And energy only wants to be used. It doesn't care who uses it. So if you're going to live,
like the truth,
you have to go into your dark side. You've got to introduce yourself to your darkness as much as you do your light so that there is balance. And if there is no balance, then you are chaos. And from chaos comes life. When the sperm hits the egg, it is an explosion.
Let me tell you something. There are certain, you know how in life, you know, you kind of repeat some of the same lessons and you're like, okay, why the fuck do I keep repeating this shit? And you know what? You know what the answer I heard recently is? Because you always go into your darkness as if it's a bad thing. Bitch, you need to.
Yeah, because honey, I go into my darkness yourself and find peace. Come on.
It is so much.
And that's what you come out with. It is so,
so much
peace
stronger.
In my darkness. Baby.
Yeah.
I'll be down there
Go
with Ganesh and Lilith and all the
come
motherfuckers.
On. Oh, Lilith.
Cali Mom. I'll be down
yeah.
there with all of them. I'm rubbing elbows and kneecaps.
Yeah.
And guess what? It let me tell you what it is. It's beauty in the beast.
Yeah.
It's beauty in the beast. Everybody wants to tell you that in your darkness, it's a place to be scared of. But you can go in your darkness and remove how something may look to you. And the energy be the greatest love you've ever found in this six-headed, four-arm, one-leg entity of energy. And you like, damn, that shit ugly than a motherfucker. I don't want to be mad with that. Ooh. And that's where you love that. That's
beauty,
where you love
I'm
that,
fell in
that
love
ugly
with
motherfucker.
Me.
That's who you was looking for.
Right.
That's who you was looking for. Okay.
That ugly
okay.
motherfucker that you kept
so see,
brushing off.
But guess what? Guess what? The ugly be your perception. So the
yep,
lesson in
your
the darkness
perception.
Is to change your perception. Why do you need and four arms and one leg to be ugly? Who told you it was
mm-hmm.
ugly?
Mm-hmm.
Who told you it was ugly?
Who told us? Society. You can probably
so
answer that.
We
society,
got a deep,
your parents, your
we got
bloodline, whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Deprogram.
We got a deep program. Your people told white folks we was ugly, and
yep.
then it was some white
even
folks that looked past what they was told, and they said, you know what? These are some of the most beautiful, creative, magical,
mm-hmm.
and mystical creatures on the planet,
mm-hmm.
and they fell in love with us, and they called them nigger lovers.
Mm.
But the irony of it all is that they fell in love with them because we are the creators of the all.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to change perception, and we got to stop being help with this attachment shit. I battle with attachment because when I love something, I want to claim it. I want to maintain it. I don't want it to shift and change and move. But who am I to take that right away from the thing I say I love?
Well,
if I love you,
that's
you
good.
Have to be organic.
That is huge.
You have to be organic. And if I can't love you and you're being organic and let you be organic to me, then what is it that I'm loving? I'm in love with an illusion.
Well,
I'm in love with your possibility.
Ooh.
I'm in love with your probability.
Ooh.
But I'm not in love with you.
You
because
know what?
You're free.
I'm sorry.
And I'm free.
I'm sorry, but, you know, I love speaking up and highly of our women, but really, it seems that that is lost. It seems like a lot of women knew how to do that, but somewhere it was lost. Can we please resurrect that part? That's all. <I'm>
But
that is a rarity
you have to,
you guys.
Oh, what a
but
tangled
you to do
web
in
we
you.
Weave. Oh, what a tangled web we weave. Because these women,
okay.
first of all, positioning isn't in its proper place. Society puts the man first. And without the womb, you get nobody. So clearly we know the woman was first.
Okay.
And when you dealing with putting a man first, we're out of order. And so because we're out of order from an outside force, they want to say that masculine women or alpha women aren't needed. Some of the greatest wars were fought by masculine women.
Yeah, that's what
if
I
you
said.
Go,
I said if, that the real warriors back in the day were the women.
Right. So if you go back over in Africa, I just posted a video. Folks are, I'm going to the Africans to get their hair braided. Okay, but you got tribes in Africa where the women don't have no hair. And the men do the braiding of the hair. Okay?
Mm.
You got tribes in Africa where the women don't wear no makeup and earrings and stuff. They got tribal bronze and stuff in their face.
This is something I also found out, that the more feminine the male was, the more warrioristic, if you will, that he was, the more in tune he was with his, the more powerful he was.
Right. Because a man in tune with his feminine side has duality.
So that's why they try so hard. That's why they try so hard to detach us from that feminine aspect of the male energy. Got it.
Right. And then when they gave it back to you, they gave it back to you in a docile way to make you look like, instead of allowing you to be organic and just be. See, I don't have a problem with a person being okay with who they are. I have a problem with people wanting to change who they are to be okay. Because you came here the way that you were supposed to come here. All of this cutting and tucking and expanding. First of all, how do you know the difference in today's society between a real physical male and a real physical female if the physical male wants to be a woman and the physical woman wants to be a male? And then you got men and women that want to alter their bodies to have bigger boobs or bigger butts. When you look at it all on the slab table, they're all the same surgical marks. They're all the same surgical marks. So if you go get your breast done, you're going to have the same markings as a man who's transgender. And then if they're able to change their birth certificate to say that they're now female, how the fuck do regular heterosexual people even know what they're getting if everybody got the same tribal war scars from altering their body?
You know, that's a deeper one that we'll get into later. Yeah.
This is chaos. This is chaos because everybody, and I don't care if you're heterosexual or you bisexual or trisexual. I don't give a fuck what you are. If I can't look at your body and know that you were born that way, I'm not comfortable with you.
It's chaos. Yeah. And I'm we're going to do another broadcast as I have even grown in that department just in that short period of time, just to confirm what you're saying. So, yeah.
It's dangerous. People are not understanding. There was a guy over here in my apartment the other day. I'm finna go into the covert thing, and then we can go ahead and do what we're going to do. But the guy was cheating on his woman. His woman pregnant. He over here with a girl in my apartment. They getting together. He asked her, did she get the covert shot? She said no. Her purse and stuff fell, and he seen the covert card. He commenced to kicking her tail and hollering and screaming at her. You know I got a baby coming. You know I got a woman. You done got this bullshit. Now I could be giving this shit to my baby, and my baby ain't even born. And I sat there and I looked at I talked to me. I said, do you see this damn fool over here jumping on this girl because he can't control his dick?
Damn.
You laid down with her. You cheated. So if you going home and you know you cheating and you sleeping with your pregnant wife.
And it's her fault.
And you
want
to be mad at this girl because this girl done went and got this shot. But you don't know. When the police came, nephew, the girl didn't even know his name. She was talking about his nickname. The police said, we can't look him up under that. What is his real name? She said, I don't know. I mean, this is the foolishness that we living in today.
Yeah.
And then we want to blame everybody else. Where is your accountability? Girlfriend, you know you sleeping around. You should let everybody you sleeping with know you went and got that vaccine because it's transferred through mucous membrane. So, y'all over here raw dogging, okay? Again, he ain't put no responsibility because you want to beat her up because your baby and your girl could now have covert and they have no idea that you cheat. We in a dangerous time. So we got to be careful. We got to be aware. We got to be responsible. Be responsible. Back when AIDS came out, people wasn't running around telling you they had AIDS.
Yeah.
So what makes you think somebody's gonna tell you they got the shot?
So this is the same shit.
Same shit.
Damn, man.
Same shit.
Yeah. I had
to. So when Bobby talks about this chaos, we have to take accountability to what is our role in the chaos. What part you play in chaos?
What part?
That's the question.
Let me say this. I had a powerful build with a brother. And, you know, I'm starting to do my sessions between 1 and 4 a.m. I love it.
The bewitching hours.
Yes, I had a powerful build with, you know, a brother. You know what I mean? And it's rare that I talk to the brothers. But when the brothers are stepping up, and I love that. But sometimes the brothers don't know who to talk to, and they really don't have people to talk to. So when they come to me, I love. So, you know, that's the message to the all guys. Keep doing what you're doing. If you don't have nobody to talk to a stranger that may know, you know, that intuitive feeling that you get like, okay, I like that brother. You know what I'm saying? You know, that may be a brother that you could talk to. You know, find, it's tricky in the spiritual community, so be careful. But if you observe somebody long enough, another brother to where you can you feel you may can trust him, start out small. You know, trust him with a small thing, you know what I'm saying, and work your way up. But it's going to be very important for you not to for us as men not to hold, you know, our shit in and find somebody to open up with and talk to, right? So with that said, we were talking about accountability. And, you know, the brother was vulnerable. He was vulnerable about his shit, about his accountability, very aware, but so appreciative that he had somebody to open up and talk to about his deepest, darkest shit that he ain't never told a soul since he was a boy. That
if you learn to trust you, the people you can trust will be drawn to you. If you learn to trust you, the people you can trust will be drawn to you. We are not taking accountability for our own shit. When the spidey senses kick in or the third eye starts tingling or whatever your quirk is to let you know that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing start happening to you. That's when you know what you can trust, because you are the people that are coming to you are the different levels and facets of who you are. You only draw what you are. You don't draw what you think you are. So when you understand that you got to trust you, when you understand that when you get up funky, everybody outside your door is going to be funky because you in a funky energy. So that's what you're drawing. When you need safety, you're going to have to trust you to show you safety. Everybody looking for some shit that's inside and going outside looking for it. Sitting your shit until you can smell other shit and recognize the difference between your shit and they shit. Sitting your shit and make your shit become fertilizer. Sit in your venom until you create the vaccine for you. We don't want to do that. And this is why we talk to people who tell our business. We trust people that are unworthy. We deal in situations in arenas where people done lied to me. You're goddamn right people is lying to you because you lie to you. You're not organic and authentic to yourself. And so you're not going to ever draw that to you because you're not in the proper space to receive it. And the universe ain't going to give you nothing you ain't ready for.
All right.
In your 360. If you in the darkness, it's because you're ready for it. If you in the light, it's because you're ready for it. If you in the medium, it's because you're ready for it. You will never pass on condition because your God is you. And you know you better than anybody else will ever know you. Be the student and the teacher. Be the student and the teacher.
And it's
be the student and the teacher. If you're not ready to be both, you're not ready, and that's okay, too.
Right.
But continue to sit on the sideline and don't interrupt others who are ready.
On that note, let's go ahead and end this broadcast, guys. And I must say to that, if we feel offended when we hear certain things, there's the word. All right, guys.
And
ask yourself, why
do you feel offended? Because if you feel offended, it's because the energy that you thought you were reminded you that you're not there yet. And it doesn't damn you. It just makes you aware of you. And that's the greatest gift that anybody could give you. Only what angers you controls you. Ask yourself why you are available to be controlled.
All right. Well, www.enhancingawarenessradio.net. Please be sure that you check out our website, guys. I am doing a lot of paintings. There are a few paintings still left on the website, guys. Just email me on the website. There's links to directly connect you to my email address. Email me, guys, to inquire about my paintings that are now up for sale. I'm so excited. One of my friends.
Yes,
cows,
congratulations on trusting you with that. Congratulations.
Yes.
I seen the smile on that baby's face. She was excited about her painting.
She was,
that baby,
she
was like,
I'll
be right
happy.
Back. I got to go put it up. Oh, my God. I was like, oh, little stinky doodle.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
I mean, she was
so,
that smile. I don't know if she's old enough to have all 36 teeth, but she, you seen all that she had, whatever was in her mouth. She, that baby was happy.
So, happy. You know, that genuinely from the inside. So with that being said, you guys, I'm going to keep this momentum going with these paintings because, you know, the energy that I exude, you know, in real life, okay, that I exude, you know, that's behind and within these paintings, guys. Some more going up. In all of August, guys, you can definitely look for more paintings on the website, www.enhancingawarenessradio.net. It's under the shopping section, you guys. Join us every weekend. As you guys know, Motivation Classroom Saturday, 11 a.m., 10 Eastern, Spiritual Soul Sunday, every Sunday. And tomorrow, every other Tuesday, you got discussions in the Black Room, which is Professor Cobble. You guys know him from Hidden Colors. It's a family affair with him and his daughters, guys. They are here every Tuesday on Enhancing Awareness Radio. All right, guys, that's it. We're going to do – we only did part four today. So part four, and then I entitled it Helping Others, you know what I'm saying? So the importance of being careful about helping others, guys. So we're going to do the last one, which is part five. We're going to go ahead and continue and close out the series next week. All right, Auntie LJ, you can take us out.
Okay. Love you. You can't let me love you if you don't love you. Love your organicness, your authenticity, what makes you uniquely and divinely created that is similar to many but unique to you. And be okay with that. Take your low road and know that you can go higher. And take your high road and know that you can go lower. And find your medium and grow there. We're all an experience that happened to be part of this worldwide experiment. We're only here temporarily. It's temporary. Learn to value what is permanent and always. That is your energy. You don't have to necessarily protect it once you know it, but you have to protect it as you introduce yourself to it. Because you don't know it, and it really knows you. Allow it to teach you who you are, why you are, and when you need to become all that you are. And in that, you'll be blessed and less stressed and not worried about evil because you're living. And when you're conducive with nature and the universe and you have the medium between the two, you are then God. Be your greatest God to yourself. Because even in your choices of religion, you chose. So choose you. Peace, love, and light, even from our darkness. Enjoy the rest of your day. And please know that chaos brought forth life. It was an explosion. even in the universe, there was the Big Bang. And beyond that, we had the sun and the moon. Appreciate your shadows because they're part of you. And if you look at them throughout a day like they're the hands of a clock, they'll help you understand through numerology what your energy is. Introduce yourself to your aura and know yourself. Knowing thyself is the greatest gift you are ever going to receive, high or low, within, without. Enjoy yourself and allow you to teach you how to be an organic you. Enjoy your day. Ashe.
So I want to dedicate this song to all of the mothers and all of the fathers who stand by those mothers, all of the fathers who will be standing by those mothers after today. Yeah, and I want to turn the light down for me. Turn the light down. Yeah, okay. I'd like to also dedicate this to my son. His name is Seven, and he's my inspiration. And I want to say peace and love to everybody that came out to support me. I want to say one love to my sister, Macy Gray. One love to my sister, Lauren Hill. One love to my sister, Mary J. Blige. One love to my sister, Lil' Kim. One love to my little sister, Foxy Brown. One love to all of my little sisters out there trying to make it in this world. One love to my sister over here, Sister Kim, that was jamming with us the other night. Black Eyed Peas show. Hey, I'd like to say one love to my sister, Yazra. One love to my sister, Njambi. One love to my sister, China. One love to my whole band up here, y'all. One love to my brother, Common Sense, to my brother Dre, to my brother Big Boy, to my brother Amir Thompson, Questlove, Q-Tip, JD, Jay-Z, all my brothers. I'm naming everybody. Everybody I didn't name you in my heart, and I love y'all, and I thank y'all. And meditate with me for 1 minute, please. Yeah. Yo, yeah, yo, yeah, yo, help me, yeah, yo, yeah. Yeah. stupid.